Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio, coming to you live, usually as always, new and exciting topics. This is Elder Mr. Tills bringing a Broad Talk broadcast live as always. We're going to read our statement, and we're going to bring our Brother Nita Meyer in to have him to read our disclosure statement, and then we will start our top part of the Sabbath. Brother Niedermeyer, would you step in and read our disclosure statement? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our disclaimer. We are the true voices. We are the voices of the true Israelites. We are a nonviolent ministry. We are not affiliated with any other group. We are... If they say that they're with us, they're a liar from the pits of hell. We're not anti-anybody. We are the lead tribe. Our only mission is to wake up the 12 tribes. We only teach YHWH, Yahuwah, not Lord, not God, and not Jesus. Only YHWH and YHWH, Yahuwah only. And keeping the commandments. And we are not connected with any other organization or any other group. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that was Brother Niedermeyer reading our disclosure statement. And that's what we generally do each and every time. Because we do have those out there that try to put us in a peculiar predicament. Now, we know there's all the history of the world past and the world present. But you have to remember, our history starts from our birth to our death. And remember, those fail to learn it, they're the ones that soon repeat it and they're simply doomed in this world or the world to come. And that's a very obvious thing to see. Because we know that a teacher can't learn from his students, because the teacher is giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. However, a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning one day to teach themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach the word of Yahweh. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that's coming to you live and open to you always with those new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Learning how to connect the books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This information that you have came to seek and have now found that in the voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Gadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That's today. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any one of your search engines, right on the search line, type tribeyada.com. After clicking enter, once again, look for tribeyada.com-Israelites. Doing this will take you to a big client where you'll see some choices. And one of the choices will be tithes and offerings. To use this, step one, click donate with PayPal. The next step, which is two, click send. Any of the amounts you wish to send with a message provided there if you like. And if this is done, may Yahweh bless you. But doing this, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you tenders of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves and shall forgive. And also donations in this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, live. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods that we continue to speak of on this program. And so we can start to do some of these things that we talk about. We're going to pass our program over to our seer Israel and get the top part of the Sabbath day started.
Stand up, Dr. Harrison. He's just as much Gentile as I am. By the flesh, neither one of us are the seed of Abraham. He's just a different flavor of the same mess. Christianity is not rooted in white men. Christianity is rooted in Judaism. And Judaism is rooted in Abraham, and Abraham was rooted in God. This is not about colors. This is not about colors. This is about covenant. It is about covenant. It is not about colors.
Present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed-Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahweh's Radio. Is now on air. I'll be your host by name, your Seer, Israel of Seed-Royal. This is the top part of the Sabbath day, and I'm reading the memos that's coming in from South Carolina, Camp 6. Ready to go. Camp 5, Baltimore, Maryland, ready to go. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan, ready to go. Camp 3, Kankakee, Illinois, ready to go. Camp 2, Springfield, Illinois, ready to go. Camp 1, Chicago, Illinois, ready to go. Remember one thing, if you're within 70 miles of any one of the locations, call the international line 224-600-5579 and tell us where you at, and we'll see, can we hook you up with a class. But one thing about it, this is a great mystery, and the mystery is he chose the people by name. He gave them a name. He gave people a name and told them, if you do what I tell you to do, you will be above all nations. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to be up under all nations. So what will happen? So what people's already talking about? African-American, Negro, and color? No. When it comes down to the Bible, you got to be plainly, and when it comes down to historical research, you got to be plainly what you're saying. And 1441, it wasn't. There's no such thing as no African slave trade ship. It was children of Israel that was called by that name, African. It was the children of Israel called by the name of Africans. But there was the children of Israel, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They was the one that's over there in Portugal and Spain, and they one got shipped out first in 1441. So when you call Judah, Benjamin, and Levi an African, that is called not properly teaching the mystery. The mystery is, you gotta understand one thing, the children of Israel of the Bible was never called Africans. Not African Americans, Negroes, colored, or supercones. But when you do the research on the word called Negro, you'd be very surprised what that word really means. And up the road, we will be bringing that in. But right now, our job is to bring you, thus said, Yahweh YHWH and unlock the mysteries that's hijacking us to understand one thing. We got to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. And we got to understand when you identify yourself with something somebody else done gave you, you lose. You lose big time. It's no such thing as no African slave trade. Africans never left on ships. Who left on ships is the children of Israel. Who left on ship from Shem's second part of land they call America, up under the 10 northern tribes of the children of Israel. They left and came back to Portugal and Spain, the children of Israel. It never was no Africans. Africans is a watered-down word for the man called Ham, Noah's second son. And he had four sons. Four sons he had. Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. They have no record of leaving anywhere on ships. See? And long as you read the history wrong, you're giving those that's in wicked power more leeway to continue with their folly. But this is a message to come to for you in the information. Uncut, and like Brother Nehemiah said earlier, we're not anti-anybody. We are peaceful Bible study, six anointed camps called Voices of the True Israelite. We are peacefully, and we're not connected with anybody's ministry. We are the lead tribe, and we lead by example, by breaking down the mysteries. So we're going to go right up into the top part of the Sabbath day, because we know one thing, on the international side, they started packing up as we speak. Because, like I said again, we got a big job to do, and we are load on everybody that teach wicked or have teach. And we're going to bring you the other part and make it a whole teaching. You got it? Good. Let's see who's coming on stage for a top part of the Sabbath day. We're coming to see who's going to be on stage for the top part of the Sabbath day, and we're going to see what we're working with. Oh, okay, we got Brother Nehemiah coming on stage. Let's see if we meet and greet from Brother Nehemiah. Brother Nehemiah, Yahweh be with you, C. Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Excellent. And we got Mother D. up Israel, one of the elder mothers out of Camp 1. She's coming on stage for the top part of the Sabbath day to hold that microphone and see if we meet and greet her. Mother D.F. Israel, Yahweh B.J.S.C. Royal.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. Oh, C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. And our elder did open the broadcast up in grand style, no doubt about it. So we'll swing back up again and meet and greet for the second time. Elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, open the broadcast up in grand style.
Yahweh BJC, right here. And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seer Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder. One thing we know, Elder, the foxtail have been lit and the curtain have went up top part of the Sabbath day. This is the day the Almighty have made, and we're going to just go straight off in some Luke 12:12 and get something going on, because we got a lot of memos coming in. And we're going to see if we answer a few of them. But we're now going to look at Luke 12:12. And Brother Nehemiah, I want you to go over that handout that you read yesterday. And let's see if you soundly put it in order by understanding what's written in 262 of EZRA. Hey, Brother Nehemiah, what is written anyway in Ezra 2:62. What's written there? What's written in EZRA 2:62? What's written there, Brother Nehemiah? Come on.
Ezra chapter 2 and verse 62.
these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, were they as polluted, put from the priesthood.
So once you find out that a name do not have a father to it, you put a sentence on it, Brother Nehemiah, polluted, put from the priesthood. So if we find out that that word Africa is a polluted word for Ham and his four sons. So when we read something that got Africa on it, you don't ignore the word. You just pronounce sentence on it and put the correct word in it while you were explaining to the national audience that the one that went on the slave ship, there was children of Israel with a polluted name called Africa. That's polluted. Children of Israel is not no African. That's from the sons of Ham. So you have to plainly lead by example. You know why you got to lead by example? Read what it says in Numbers 15:15-16. Let me give you a case in point. Why you got to lead by example? Let's show you, if you don't lead by example, let's see what Yahweh says in Numbers 15:15-16. What do you say that, Brother Nehemiah?
Numbers chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. One ordinance shall be both of you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall a stranger be before the Yahuwah. 16. One law and one manner shall be for you, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
If you follow the stranger, especially by teaching Yahuwah's word, then you have violated Yahuwah's word. Yahuwah let you know plainly in 1 Chronicles 1, verse 9, 9, verse 1, 8. Brother Nehemiah, what has Yahuwah got written for us to have, always understand? In 1 Chronicles 9, 1, what is he saying? What is he saying there, Brother Nehemiah, 9, verse 1?
1 Chronicles 9 and verse 1. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogy, and behold,
Stop right there. That's all I want out of it. So when you reckon Israel, all Israel, the Israelites, are reckoned through who? By what? Brother Nehemiah, by what?
Genealogy.
By what?
Genealogy.
They reckon by genealogy. So if they're called Africans, then that's not no genealogy. He said all Israelites are reckoned through genealogy. So if they're called by something that's outside of genealogy, you know that's polluted. You put a pronounced sentence on it, polluted. No, children of Israel, they reckon through genealogy. They reckon through genealogy. I can't call them no Africans. African-American, Negro, color, super coon, can't call them none of that. That's not genealogy. That's a derogatory statement on them. Hey, Adam, what did Luke 12 say, Adam?
Okay, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, reading verse number 12, it says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Mm-hmm. See, in that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But one thing about the righteous spirit, you got to obey him to receive it. I mean, he'll lay it out plainly. But we got to remember one thing in 1434, we got to do, Elder. The first thing we got to do is second Ezra 1434. When you come into this understanding, the first thing you got to do is 2 Ezra 14:34. This is how you come in with the proper understanding. This is what you got to do according to 2 Ezra 14:34. Hey, Ezra, what do 2 Ezra 14:34 say we got to do? Come on.
In the book of 2 Esther, chapter 14, reading verse 34, it says, "Therefore, so be that ye will subdue your own understanding and reform your minds. Ye shall be kept alive, and after death ye shall obtain mercy."
You see that? So that's the game changer right there. You got to subdue your own understanding. I don't care what you have learned in Christianity, Islam, Judaism. Every time you put in that own table, that stuff can get smacked down by opening up the Bible. I don't care what statement they bring to the table in Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. Whatever they bring to the table, you can smack it down just by saying, the Bible don't say it. You're not quoting that right. Christianity, Islam, Judaism are like a morphine drip. And it show up, first of all, in Christianity. I'll give a case in point. What do they use? They use the wrong name, Lord God Jesus. They keep the wrong holidays, what we call Righteous Day, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. They keep the wrong day, Sunday, when people keep sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. So what they got right? What did they got right? They tell you you're going up, up, and away, and everybody is in the ground, going to be there till the first resurrection. So when you're dealing with Christianity, you know, if a person in Christianity, he got to first do one thing. Everything he thinks he have learned, he got to put it to the side. He got to withdraw it. I'm going to give you a case in point. I'm going to go here and read a verse about Mother Dear of Israel in the 28th chapter, verse 18. Now, I'm going to show you what Christianity will do, but I'm going to see, will that hold up if you just open the Bible up and check it? It might sound one way, but what way was he meaning, and what people was he talking to? So now, for example, hey, Mother Dear of Israel, in Matthew 28, verse 18 down to verse 20. Now, see, the big dignitaries, they'll run to this verse right here, and they'll read this riff for you, and they'll just gobble you all the way up. Now, look what he says in Matthew chapter 28, 18 down to verse 20. What does it say there, Mother D of Israel? Give me that microphone on the top part of Saturday, and let's talk about Matthew 28, 18 down to verse 20. Now, I can smell a Christian already. Now, watch when we go there, and let's see what happens. Matthew 28, 18 down to verse 20. Let's say that, Mother Dear of Israel.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Verse 18. And Yahweh came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." 19. "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Righteous Spirit." 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So there you go right there. I got you now, old seer. He teach all nations. Hey, seer, what that mean, all nations? What that mean, all nations? See that? We got you now, all nations. They call it the Great Commission. You teach all nations. But what do it say, Mother, in 58? Well, make it 28, verse 13 of the book Isaiah. What did he tell the seer you got to do? Let's go to 28, chapter, verse 13 of Isaiah. What did he tell the seer in 700 B.C.? What did he tell him you got to do according to Matthew 28, verse 13? Number. Well, pick up verse 10, just make it sound good. Pick up verse 10. 28:10 on to verse 13. What does it say that, Mother D.F. Israel? Come on.
Isaiah 10:8-13. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people. Verse 12, to whom he says, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. 13, but the word of Yahweh was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go. And fall backwards, and be broken, and snared, and taken.
Read verse 12 again, Mother D of Israel. Read verse 12 again.
Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
Mm-hmm. So what is the rest? Where is the rest to cause the weary to get themselves together? Where is the rest? Verse 10. Here go the rest right here. Verse 10. Here go how you get your rest. You want to get some rest? Look what verse 10 say again there, Mother. Verse 10. 28:10 of Isaiah, what it say?
For precept be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
So that's how you rest, and that's how you get rid of weariness in mind by sit up on a ministry. They let the Bible tell us the answer by precepting. That's how you get off Monday. Because one thing about it, if your overseer, your overteacher, your overpastor, if he you know, jerking you around, Yahweh not going to let him jerk you around. You know why? Because he's not going to give him no precepts. He'll read a verse, but Yahweh not going to give him a precept to it because the answer is going to be contrary to what he just got to read. They're like all nations. See? If you precept that all nation, he said, go teach all nation. See? Go teach all nation. But if you precept the Bible, you get the answer. What are you talking about? Let's go to the 18th chapter, Mother Dear Bishop. Let me show you, for example. We're going to show you, for example, this is how you catch them. You say, okay, Mr. Preacher, I'm going to pay you my tithes, free will offering, and donation. But why don't you precept what you just said? 28:18-20 says, teach all nations. I want you to precept that for me. And he'll ask you, what you talking about? Precept. Well, to get understanding in the Bible, like Brother Nehemiah, according to Psalm 119, verse 4, and 104, what does it say that, Brother Nehemiah Israel? Psalms 119, verse 4, and 104. What does it say, Brother Nehemiah Israel? Come on.
Psalms 119, verses 4, and then 104. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
So if you're not precepting your Bible, Brother Nehemiah, it's a false way. So whoever's standing for you, if they're not precepting the Bible, you just can't say the 28th chapter 18 through 20, it reads exactly like that, because according to 11 verse 6 of Job, what it says in 11 verse 6 there, Brother Nehemiah Israel, what it says in 11 verse 6 of the book of Job,
Job chapter 11 and verse 6, and that he would show the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that Yahweh.
Stop right there. So the Bible has what kind of meaning there, Brother Nehemiah? Just hit the points. What the Bible have? What kind of meaning do the Bible have?
A double meaning.
See, that's what we come in at. The Bible have a double meaning. Get a precept on that. Or 224 Sirach. The Bible have a double meaning, Mr. Preachers. When you read it worldly, you don't get a worldly answer. But when you precept the Bible, the spiritual part kicks in. And that's the part you're going to be lacking. Now, think about the ministry that you're in. Think about it. When did you have your preacher sit there and precept anything before you? You can't remember, huh? No. You know why? You're not going to be able to do it. Yahweh not allow him to do it. What you reading there, Brother Nehemiah?
Sirach chapter 42 and 24. All things are double one against another, and he that have made nothing imperfect.
So the bottom line is, when you're reading the Bible, you got what kind of meaning that, Brother Nehemiah?
A double meaning.
That means you got a carnal and a spiritual understanding. The world reads carnal, and you come back behind it with a spiritual understanding. Case in point. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Pick up verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. Let's read a little bit there, Brother Nehemiah. Let's start at 13, verse 10. Let's read a little bit and see what we get out of it. Matthew chapter 13, pick up verse 10. Let's read a little bit there. Come on.
Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? 11. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. 14. And then end is fulfilled.
So that's good. So he said, really, I'm really speaking plainly to them, but it comes out like a parable to them. Huh? But it comes out like a parable. I'm speaking plainly. I'm saying it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. So what do we say you do in 1:15? Mark there, Brother Nehemiah. So what he tell you got to do in Mark 1:15? He says, it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. You mean the kingdom got a mystery to it? Yeah. It got a mystery to it. Mark 1:15. But it don't work until you do a Mark 1:15. What does it say in Mark 1:15?
Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. You repent and you believe the word.
Well, now you all over the place in that verse. You ain't, he ain't saying all that. You're adding words that's not there, Brother Nehemiah. Why don't you just read what you see there in that verse? Just read what you see in that Bible, and then you're going to be more than all right. Just read what you see there. Come on back.
Okay, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. You repent and you believe the gospel.
Let me look at that. Let me peep at that verse. It seems like it's a word that it ain't sitting well with me there, Brother Nehemiah. Let me take a look at that verse. Let me see what something in there that is not sitting well with the old seer. It says in verse 15, it says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. It don't say about no you. It don't say nothing about no you. It said at hand. He's flat out telling you, repent and believe the covenant. That's what it's saying. It's not about no you. He wants to say, who let someone say, well, that's the elder. What you got on the table, elder? You got something to say behind that elder? That was you, elder. Who was that talking?
Hallelujah. Why?
All right, well, bring it back to the table, that mother dear bitch. What you put on the table behind that? What are you saying? I heard somebody say something. So what you got there, mother?
It says, repent you. Believe the covenant.
Okay. All right. Repent you. Okay, good. Excellent. That mean who was wrong? The old sin was wrong. Hallelujah. So we do see, repent you. Repent you. But now who's you? Now who's you he telling to repent? That was excellent, Brother Nehemiah. Osir didn't see the word you in his book. But mother pulled it out and that's what it's all about. Repent ye. Now, who is he talking about? Now, who is he telling they got to repent? That's the point I want to know. Now, what a precept on who he telling that they got to repent? So, who is he telling this to that we can read that you got to repent? Now, who is he talking to? About, I tell you, we'll table that and put that to the side, and then we'll come back with a verse on who is the you that he's talking to. Because I ain't getting no answer right now. So what I'm going to do, hey, elder, I'm going to swing up to the 18th chapter of St. John. I'm going to put an answer to it because I ain't getting an answer fast enough to hear. So I'm going to go to the 18th chapter of Matthew's. Hey, I'm going to see who the you is. See, I'm going straight to the 18th chapter. I ain't going to be bumming around with it. I'm going to the 18th chapter and find out who's the you that got to repent. That's what I'm looking for.
Hallelujah.
So, where would I go to find out what I'm looking for? In Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to look for the you. Who is the you? Because the Pharisees, the religious leader, came and asked him a question, and he listened to him real carefully. Let's see what the Pharisees said to him, Adam. We're going to look at the 18th chapter, verse 19. Here come the Pharisees. They're going to look at him eyeball to eyeball. And they're going to ask him something. But he's going to let them get their statement out. And then he's going to respond to them. St. John chapter 18, verse 19 is reading a little bit. Come on. Down to verse 21.
Okay. All right. I hesitate because I always make notes. Matthew's chapter 18, reading verses 19 to 21. 19 says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask,
That's 18. Hold on. Make
Matthew's
18,
chapter
19. 18. I see them all over the place. I see all over the place right now. But in St. John chapter 18, pick up verse 19. I'm looking at this religious leader. He's looking at my eyeball to eyeball in 18, verse 19. Thanks again, that mother dear of Israel. I see I got two strikes on me. 18, verse 19, what it says in our St. John. Come on. Down 21.
Okay. St. John chapter 18. Reading 19 to 21. Okay, 19 says, make sure I'm right. 19 says, the high priest asked Yahuwah the Son of his disciples and of his doctrine. 20, Yahuwah the Son answered him, I speak openly unto the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, temple, and in the temple, whether Judah always resort. In secret, I said nothing. 21. Why hast thou me? Ask them which heard me, and what have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said.
So he says in verse 20, he says, so he responded to them in verse 20. I speak open to the world. Huh. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by I spoke open to the world? A precept that mother in 45:17 of Isaiah. What do you mean he spoke open to the world? You remember we read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, go out to the whole world and all that good stuff? That was pretty good. But in 45:17, we're going to see, can we find out when you precept your Bible and you start to keep precepting that Bible, it'll give you a clear idea in 45:17 of Isaiah, mother, what world he talking about. Let's see, come on.
Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved. And Yahuwah, with an everlasting salvation, you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end.
No. So when he say go out to all the world, according to 45:17, he let the seer know what world was he talking about. Hey, mother dear of Israel, enlighten the national audience. What world was he talking about according to Isaiah 45:17? What world was he talking about, mother, dear Israel? Come on.
The world of Israel.
The world of Israel. Now you see that? See, that's why we know that the pastors, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, they're not going to do that. They're not going to never do that. They're gonna hold your foot to the fire about a great commission. Go out and teach all the world. But he tell you what all the world. The world right here. The world of whom other?
Israel.
The world of whom other?
Israel.
The world of the children of Israel. They got the children of Israel. According to Deuteronomy 28:25, mother, was going to be well. Where the children of Israel was going to be in the world, according to Deuteronomy 28:25. Where are they going to be at, mother? Where are they going to be at? 28:25. Of Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 25. Deuteronomy 28:25 reads, Yahuwah shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemy. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
You see that? So that means wherever a world, wherever a world is at, wherever a kingdom is at, who is going to be there, mother? according to that verse, who's going to be in everybody's world, everybody's kingdom? Who is going to be there, Mother, according to 28:25? What did it say? The children of Israel will be in every nation up under the sun. So that's why he said, go teach all nations. Now, look what it says, Brother Nehemiah and 1 Peter 1:1. That look what they're going to be called in all nations. They're going to be called something in all nations in 1 Peter 1:1. But they're going to be called something in all nations. The chief speaker of the nation of Israel gonna give you a heads up what they're going to be called. Come on. 1 Peter 1:1.
1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia.
So Peter called them that were scattered. What word did he use there, Brother Nehemiah? Make a note of it, strangers.
Strangers.
Because they were strangers from something, Brother Nehemiah. And all the way you don't know what they were stranger of, you got to precept the Bible in Ephesians 2:10. What was they a stranger from? Let's see, he's writing to the strangers that's in every nation. But what was they a stranger from according to Ephesians 2:10? Let's talk about it. In 2:10, we're going to find out what was they a stranger from. 2:10. Come on.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Yahweh the Son unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we shall walk in them.
Mm-hmm. I need a little bit more out of that, Brother Nehemiah. Let me get over to Ephesians 2:10, because you don't read 2:10. So I'm going to make sure this time I peep. So you don't read 2:10, but I want to find out what he's a stranger of. So that's what I'm going to see. So I'm going to look back at it myself and find out what they're a stranger of. Read verse 12 and kick up to verse number 11. Let's see what they're a stranger of. Verse 12, then kick up back to verse 11. Come on, Nehemiah, put a little more pep in that reading and 2:12 and see what it say.
Ephesians 2:12-11. That at that time you were without Yahweh the Son, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. Verse 11.
So he was writing to the strangers, and Brother Nehemiah, what was the children of Israel strangers from? Well, according to verse 12, what one word can we pick out of here that the children of Israel was a stranger from? They was a stranger from one big old word, Brother Nehemiah. Let's see, can we tie in one word that there was a stranger from? What was a stranger from that, Brother Nehemiah?
The covenant.
The covenant. See, that, so, and when you were stranger from the covenant, that make you what? Verse 11. Now watch this now. So when you're stranger from the covenant, that make you a what? I don't care what nationality you are. Listen, go up, Mother dear, up Israel. So when you were standing on the covenant, what did that make you in verse number 11? Read it.
Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand.
Oh, so when you not keeping or understanding the covenant, I don't care who you are, that make you a what, Brother Nehemiah? Give me one big word that make you. And all my life I thought it meant something totally different. But we find out right now, when you are a stranger from the covenant, that automatic make you a what? One big word, Brother Nehemiah.
Gentile.
A Gentile. So you see why when Elder read 14:34, you got to subdue your own understanding to be kept alive. You'll never understand this long as you bring in any smell of some Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. You will never get this right. Because what makes you a Gentile when you're a stranger from the covenant? You see that, Brother Nehemiah? See, when you preach your Bible, so what makes you a Gentile when you're a stranger from the covenant? You can be Israelite. You can be what? You can be the sons of Ham. It don't make no difference. When you adopt the covenant, you are a Gentile. So now look how plain that is. That will make you a Gentile. So when we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, and see, he'll give you the verses as you talking. He'll give you verses. As you talking, you'll see a small still voice will come in and say, well, now that sounds pretty good, brother. See, now put 125 with that. See that? So now we go on and see in Colossians what he's talking about. I'm anxious to find out what he's talking about myself in Colossians 1:25. So let's talk about it in 1:25 there, brother Nehemiah, Colossians 1:25. What's that talking about? Come on. Let's read a little bit.
Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of Yahuwah, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of Yahuwah.
Period.
26. Even the mystery which has been hid. Even the mystery which has been hid from. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints.
Sabadell. So it says it's a mystery. So it's a mystery that been hid from the ages, but now it's been made manifest to his who? His saints. So, mother, when we go to the 50th chapter, verse number 5 and 7 of the book of Psalms, who is these saints he talking about? What saints is he talking about? Because you are whatever you are, but what saints are you talking about according to Psalm 50, verse number 5? Hey, Mother D of Israel. So now see, Brother Nehemiah, we know you're an up-and-coming teacher, but you have to be able to let the Spirit of Yahuwah precept your Bible. Anything in Christianity is going to be totally wrong. Now, this mystery was revealed to the saints. So now we want to precept the Bible, that the Bible tells us who these saints he's talking about. It's a specific saints that he's talking about. Matter of fact, read verse 7 just to make it sound good, mother. And then we're going to kick up to verse 5. Then we'll read verse 6. Now, watch you make plain. You're going to make it real plain. But he'll give you the spirit to do it. Psalm 50, verse 7. Bring it out, mother. Psalm 50, verse 7, what it say?
Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahuwah, YHWH, even your Yahuwah.
Stop it there, mother. Stop it there. So according to verse 7, who is Yahweh's peoples? Who is his peoples? He said, who is his people that we can read? But, you know, we talking straight up. So who is his peoples according to verse 7 of Mother D of Israel?
All Israel.
You see that? So there are his peoples right there. You know, whole Israel. Now, look what he said to whole Israel, his peoples in verse 5. What did he tell them?
Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Wait a minute. No, just don't gather it. Any of them. Hey, Elder, give me Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. Matthew 3, 1. Now that, let's read straight on down. No, just don't gather. Don't just gather me any saints, which is the children of Israel. No. He wants the one to do what again, Mother? What he want? What ones he want in verse 5? He doesn't want you to go out there and give me any saints, which is the children of Israel. He wants the ones that die. What, Mother?
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Oh, the ones that made a covenant with me. So you just can't go grab any Israelite. You got to grab the one that made a covenant with him. See that? So, I know I'm Israel. Okay. But had you made a covenant with him? Well, yeah, you know you're the saint, but had you made a covenant with him? So he want to know the one that made a covenant. Now, Brother Nehemiah, give me Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Now, he said the one that made a covenant with him by doing what? Sacrificing. Oh, sacrifice. What's that supposed to mean there, Brother Nehemiah? Preach up that Bible. Whip that Bible right. 12, 1, 2, and 3 of Romans. Come on.
Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service. 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahuwah. 3. For I say through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahuwah has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Mm-hmm. So when Mother read the 50th chapter, verse 3, he said, those that made a covenant with me by sacrificing, and then we put the precept on there for the double meaning. He says, do what again in 12 verse 1? How do you make a sacrifice now to Yahuwah according to 12 verse 1 there, Brother Nehemiah? Romans 12, 1. How do you make a sacrifice now to Yahuwah that's acceptable to him by doing what? 12 verse 1. Come on.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service.
Uh-huh. And don't look for a pat on the back when you do it. He said, look here, make your body up. The brother say, I seen a brother from class the only day. But brother, my mind always with the class. Well, he's a Yahuwah saying, can you care about your mind? Put your body in class. He ain't caring about your mind. Well, my mind are always on the class, okay? But what about your body? So Yahuwah said, make your body a living sacrifice. He ain't caring about your mind. Well, I'm always thinking about the class, whether I'm in it or not, yeah? But Yahuwah said, he ain't that. He said, make your what again? Your body a living sacrifice. He said, gather my thanks, which is the children of Israel, which have made a covenant with me by sacrificing. That means they body was in the ministry. They mind can be there all they want to be, but what about the body? Mother D.F. Israel, 148. Let's go to 148, verse 14. Double meaning. Psalms 148, verse 14. See, you got to keep them scriptures popping, Brother Nehemiah. Can't be bumming around looking all in space. You got to keep the Bible popping. See, when you're teaching a class, you got to keep the Bible popping. With precept, keep it popping. That's how you got to deal with it. Can't be bumming around. You got to keep it popping. Comment on it as long as you want, but have no best way to go after you get through comment on it. 148, verse 14, what it say, Mother D up Israel?
Psalms 128, verse 14. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even unto the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye Yahweh. Why stop here?
You see it? Today is the day. So the one that had made a covenant with him by sacrificing, that's the saints he wants of the children of Israel. He mentioned nothing about no other nation. See, that's the point. They will read in 28th chapter, go teach all nations, but we read that he's talking about his saints that is scattered up in all nations. And they scattered up on names called Gentile and stranger. And what we found out there, they mixed with Gentile and stranger from the covenant. From the covenant, Brother Nehemiah, they are Gentile and stranger from the covenant. That would make you a Gentile. So now James was Peter's right-hand man in 1:1, Brother Nehemiah. In 1 verse 1, that was his right-hand man was James, Yahweh the Son's brother. And look what he wrote in 1 verse 1. Of the book of James 1:1. What can we read out of 1 verse 1? Come on.
James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of Yahweh and of Yahweh the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
So, what was the difference? Peter called them strangers and Gentiles. And what did James call them? He talking about the Israelites. You see that when you preach up your Bible? So the one he taught that scattered is the Israelites right there. Peter didn't have to say that. He had to use the word Israelites, but that's what he was writing to. But James went on just show you through the precept. He's talking about to the 12 tribes that are scattered. So that's the ones in every nation. See that? So when you teach this way, you will enlighten a whole lot. So now here, to give you that third chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 3, 1 down to verse 11. Now listen to Israel. And because you Israel, but you can be a stranger and you can be a Gentile, but now you know what makes you a stranger and a Gentile from the covenant. So when you're not keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, you are a stranger. You are a Gentile. From what? The covenant. Because the covenant makes it plain. Look what his cousin said to the religious leaders in 3, verse 1 down to verse number 11. Hey, Elmer, what it says in Matthew 3, 1 through 11. Bring your A-game. Come on, Elmer.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to verse number 11, one says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 2, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 3, for this is he that was spoken by the seer Elijah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, make his path straight. 4. And at the time, John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle around his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. 5. Then went out him to Yada Judah, and all Judea, and all the region around Jordan. 6. And were baptized him in Jordan, confessing their sins. 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from wrath to come. 8. Bring forth ye therefore fruits, meat for repentance. 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. 11. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes and I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with
what's the next verse say? Yeah, what the next verse say? He gonna do. What he say he gonna do? Now, John, I'll tell you what is a cousin gonna do in the next verse. What is cousin gonna do there, brother? I mean, he had a Mr. Tales of Israel. What is cousin say he gonna do in the next verse? Come on.
Verse number 12?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garden. But he will burn up the staff with unquenchable fire.
He said, yeah, I baptize it with water. If you get this thing right, when my cousin go to heaven, will tell you, he gonna put some fire on you. He said, he gonna put some fire on you. See that? So if you don't get this thing right, he gonna put some fire on you. He said, look, I'm doing this water thing, but he gonna baptize you with some fire. See that? Some fire. See, anybody reading these things with some understanding? Back and read verse 10 again, Elder. Verse 10.
Verse 10 says, and now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore, any tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire.
You see that? So he let you know, if you're not going to bring forth no good fruit, Yahweh going to burn you in the fire. So otherwise, you ain't got no works. You ain't got nothing coming. Yeah, you got something coming in the fire. That's why you got to make sure you got some works in. Make sure you got some works in, because if you ain't got no works in, you'll be hewn down and cast into the fire. Today or this, see, when you back up and look at this thing carefully, he letting you know. You know, so John is giving him what's called grace to hear him talking. And same thing we do right now. We giving you grace now, too, by you hearing us talking. Properly, you make a change. You get away from that folly. So you're getting your grace right now. Grace is a time period to change and come back and keep them laws, statutes, and commandments for the man set you down. Okay? So now, let's go back to that Colossians again now, Brother Nehemiah. With all that understanding, so now you know that the Colossians that he's talking to, according to a elder, Mr. T of Israel, the Colossians that he's talking to is 15:24. We'll make it 24:15 of Matthew. So these Colossians that he's talking to, they are a 24:15 of Matthew's. So when you read the book of Colossians, who he's talking to, Brother Nehemiah, let's see what they're going to bring on the table in 24 verse 15. Then I'm going to ask you a question, Brother Nehemiah. I'm going to ask you a question after they're going to read 24:15 of Matthew's.
In the book of Matthew's, looking at chapter 24, reading verse number 15, says, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the seer, stand in the righteous place. Whosoever reads it, let him understand.
Mm-hmm. All right. I can live with that. Back at Matthew 15:24. I can live with that. 15:24.
Okay. I'm making notes, so I know. Matthew 15.
Yeah, 15:24.
Verse number 24. 24 says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel.
Brother Nehemiah, what verse can we read? They say he sent to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. What verse makes them lost that we can read? What verse in Ephesians 2:12 that we can read that make you lost? What verse is that, Brother Nehemiah? Ephesians 2, verse 12. What verse is that that we can read that will make you lost from what? Let's talk about it, Brother Nehemiah. Come on.
Ephesians 2 and 12. That at that time you were without Yahuwah the Son, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Yahuwah in the world.
So what make the children of Israel then and now? What make them lost? Brother Nehemiah? What make them lost?
Having no covenant.
Keeping no covenant. So keeping no covenant. Understanding no covenant, the Yahuwah is a covenant keeper. So when you're not keeping a covenant, according to Yahuwah, you are what? A Gentile, a stranger, and you're lost. So remember, when you're dealing with people in time to come, Brother Nehemiah, if they're not keeping the covenant, they are a stranger. They are a stranger. They are a Gentile. And they're lost. See now, once you understand these things, then you understand a little bit better. When you're not keeping the covenant, you are a Gentile, you are a stranger, and you're lost. So you got all these going for you. You know you're seldom to do anything. So if anything jump off not in your favor, you understand what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a stranger from the covenant, a Gentile from the covenant, and a lost from the covenant. So you got all of them on the table. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, we should tie it all in. Now, here we are talking to another group that are strangers, lost, and a Gentile. Let's see what he says to them in 12, verse 1 and 2 there, Brother Nehemiah. 1 Corinthians 12:1-2.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led.
What did he call them again? He called them his who? His brothers. And he called them his brothers. What he called his brothers, Brother Nehemiah? He called them his brothers. What?
Gentiles.
What did he call them his brothers?
Gentiles.
See that? That's what he called them. And what make them Gentiles again? Read verse and pick out me one big word in 12, 1 and 2. Let's see what make them Gentiles. And what he says now, he said something like, you are no more. So how can you be no more or something? Read that again, 12, 1 and 2. He says something. He must have done something for him to say, what he just said in 12:1. I wonder what he did. We're going to find out after you read it again. Read one verse at a time, 12:1.
1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant.
Okay, good. He said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's a big verse. Brothers, I don't want you. I got to precept that. Hey, Elder, back at the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, who he called them brothers that I don't want you to be ignorant? Who are you talking about? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 down, and as Rachel will get our point. Who he called them brothers that I don't want you to be ignorant? 1 Corinthians 10, pick up verse 1. Hey, Elder, what does it say? Let's talk about it. Come on.
Okay. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, starting at verse number 1. 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Now that all our fathers are under the cloud, and all passes through the sea. 2. And we were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Yahweh the Son. 5.
Ain't that something?
But with 3,
that's good. That's good. Read verse 1 again. Verse 1 says,
moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. How that all
Stop right there for a minute. Brethren, I would not for you to be ignorant. Read that again, Brother Nehemiah 10:1. 12:1.
1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant.
No. So he talked to his brothers that I don't want his brothers to be ignorant. So his brethren, and what he said about Elder in the 10th chapter, the same thing. Brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. But then he's going to put another wrinkle in there behind that word. He's going to say something about let you know this thing have nothing to do with a religious matter. It got something to do with what? Keep reading, Elder. Let's read the next verse. 10:2.
Okay, 2 says, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
So,
and all these
okay, people, that's good. But what? Who is he calling brethren in verse 1 again? Who is he calling brethren in verse 1 again, Elder?
Verse 1, reading that again, says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud. And all passed
through
the sea.
Our fathers. That's good.
Our
so he's talking about our fathers. He's talking, he's not talking about no religion or you joining anything. He's talking blood on blood. This is, he calling the one that was ignorant, a Gentile, letting you know they from the same bloodline. They from the same bloodline. He talking bloodline here. He say, our fathers. So he talking about our fathers. That's bloodline. So we go to Romans, Brother Nehemiah, in the 9th chapter, 1 down to verse 5. Let's see what he's telling some more brethren in the 9th chapter, 1 down to verse 5 in Romans. Let's see what he tells some more brethren. Now look at WCC. Well, how you get brothers out of the Romans 9:1? Well, Mother D.F. Israel, give me 10:1, Mother. Hey, Mother, give me 10:1. Let me let me take care of the World Council of Churches real quick in 10 verse 1. Let me take care of them real quick. Because they love the, aha, I got you now. Okay, let's see, you got me in 10 verse 1. What does it say in Romans 10, 1?
Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my mind's desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved.
Ain't that something? What did he call Israel, Mama, in 10-1? What big word he called Israel in 10-1?
Brethren.
Brethren. Yeah, Brother Nehemiah. He called Israelite brethren. So that brethren conversation, that is directly to the children of Israel. So you see how the big digging till they get themselves all caught up. They think they got something. They wake up when they hear something, and they think they got something. You ain't got nothing here. Sir, you about to be cut off again. Well, what can I say? So what we saying here, the brethren he's talking about is the children of Israel. Back up, Mother, read it 1:5-7. Romans 1:5-7. See, I'm telling you something. Sooner or later, if you want to be one of the groups or the six anointed camps, I hear all your lessons. But sooner or later, I'm about to hear some flat out, some throwdowns in grand style for the petition to Yahweh to say, listen here, they got it, they got it. They're on the right track now. 1:5-7, come on.
Romans chapter
Mother?
1, verses 5-7.
5-7.
By whom we have received grace, mercy, and apostleship for obedience to the covenant among all the nations for his name. Verse 6. Among whom are you also the call of Yahweh the Son? Verse 7. To all that be in love, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints.
You see that?
Grace.
So the one he's talking to in Rome is called to be saints. And what is another word for saints? The children of Israel. Okay? So who Paul talking to in Rome? The children of Israel. So you see that, Brother Nehemiah? When you precept the Bible, you ain't got no choice but to do the right thing. But if you don't precept the Bible, you're going to be all over the place, Brother Nehemiah. If you don't precept the Bible and be able to, don't make no statements, just go in and drop the precept. That's when you know Yahweh working with you. So now you see, the ones he's talking to in Rome is they got the potentials to be saints. And the saints is the children of Israel. So he over there in Rome talking to the scattered Gentiles, strangers from the covenant that's in Rome. That's what Paul doing. He not doing what the Christian church say he doing. He teaching and looking for the one that are lost. That is a stranger from the covenant. The covenant, the one that, to let them know that you can come back to this covenant. And let them know otherwise, now this is a game changer. You can be drafted in again because you once was. So when he's really doing the drafted in, he's talking about the lost Israelites that have lost their way that they can be drafted back in because they have to been in once upon a time ago, like reconciled. So when you read about the drafted in, they're drafting in, you have to been in, and no nation has ever been with Israel. So they cannot be drafted in because they never was in. There's no record of them being in. Now, all the nations have been an enemy. How we know that? 50 verse 7, Read it, Mother D. F. Israel, 50 verse 7. How we know these things? Because we can read it. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 verse 7. Let's see how many nations guilty. So how can a nation be drafted in, and then Jeremiah raised from the womb and said what in 50 verse 7? What did he say to that, Mother D.F. Israel? Jeremiah 50 verse 7, what did he say?
Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 7 reads, all that found them have devoured them, and their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even Yahweh, mm-hmm. the hope of their mm-hmm. father.
So how many, according to 50 verse 7, of how many is guilty? How many nations is guilty?
All.
All of them. So how can they be drafted in? You got to be, you cannot be, you got to be one not guilty. So that drafting in, that been taught wrong. See, it just, we got, that's why we need land, school, banquet hall, radio station, support this ministry. Donate to this ministry for all these things to happen. Because you need to know the truth of this matter. You need to know the truth of this matter. The truth, the drafting is talking about the one that walked away from the covenant. And who can we read walked away from the covenant? See, here to go the game changer. Who can we read, Mother D.F. Israel, that walked away from the covenant that we can read? It's going to 1 Kings 12. See, we'll know when you're ready. We'll know when intercession on the camp's ready. Because we know you'll be able to read your Bible in that very same hour, the right spirit to kick in with you and help you out. So now, who walked away from the covenant that we can read? You go to the 12th chapter, 1 Kings, and you see who walked away from the covenant that you can read. Okay? That's all you do. He'll give it to you, but you gotta subdue your own understanding. Let's see what it says. Who walked away that we can read? See, you gotta be able to read it. We're going to 1 Kings 12, and we're trying to find out who walked away that we can read. We're going to find out right now. Verse 16, 1 Kings 16, 12, who walked away that we can read? Come on, 12, 16, yeah, 12, 16. Now, what we're going to find out now, who walked away that we can read? Walked away from the order of the Bible. Who? Let me read. 12:16. Come on. 1 Kings. Come on.
1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. For when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not.
Wait, hold on. I thought it again, Mother. I want to make sure I'm hearing it real good. 1 Kings 12:16, take your time and take a deep breath first, and then let's hear it again. 12:16 again, come on.
1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of justice. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own family. David, so Israel departed unto their tent.
In this case, that means attend to your own nation. Your own nation in this case. So Israel departed to their tent, huh? And what happened next in verse 19? And what happened next in verse 19?
Verse 19. So Israel rebelled against the family of David unto this day.
So the nation of David was so to this day. Okay, good. So now we found out that Israel rebelled against the southern kingdom that David was king at. When David was gone, that was his grandson was running it. Hey, but what do that mean, Brother Nehemiah, in verse 16, verse 1? What do that first line mean? Let me see, can you expound on what that first line, mean? 12, verse 16. What do that mean, Brother Nehemiah? Read it. Read that one line and expound on what that means.
1 Kings 12 and 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them.
Drop it down. No, what is that talking about? What is that talking about, Brother Nehemiah? What is that talking about? What is that talking about?
The king didn't listen to Israel.
No, what is that talking about? No, he didn't talk about what they didn't listen. What's that talking about in that first line? What's that first line talking about?
So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened.
Hey, stop it there. Stop it there. Stop it there. How many is all Israel?
All.
So how many is all Israel? So what? So how much is all Israel, Brother Nehemiah?
I think it was all 10 nations.
So now you sound like you got your hand out and you got your eye closed because the ruler gonna hit you on your knuckles. Well, what are you talking about in 12:16 at first line? When it says, so when all Israel saw and hearken not unto them, who is? How many is all Israel?
All 12 tribes.
All 12 tribes, okay. So all 12. Hey, mother, you agree with that, mother, be of Israel? All 12 tribes?
Israel is 10 tribes.
10 tribes. Now we got to stop and break that down, Brother Nehemiah. Because, Brother Nehemiah, see, I keep saying we just can't just be reading this Bible. We got to be comprehending this Bible, especially by up-and-coming teacher. You have to be clear. But it's great that you're making these mistakes, but to correct them, if they come up again, you be corrected. Let's find out how many is all Israel. We're going to find out, Brother Nehemiah, how many is all Israel. Now, back up to the 11th chapter. And pick up verse 30. Let's find out how much is all Israel. We're going to find out, Brother Nehemiah, by precepting. In 11 verse 30, let's read a little bit. First Kings 11 verse 30, we're going to find out how many is all Israel. And how did it happen? Come on.
First Kings 11 and 30. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces.
Go ahead, keep reading.
31. And he said unto Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus said the Yahuwah of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee.
Okay, good. So now, with that understanding, how many is all Israel is? After he came in contact with the seer, and the seer ripped his garment up in 12 pieces. Then the seer said, I'm going to give you how many pieces? How many tribes? He said, I'm going to give you Jeroboam.
10 tribes.
How many did he say?
10 tribes.
10 tribes. So after that conversation right there, from that point on, Israel would be how many tribes, Brother Nehemiah?
10 tribes.
10 tribes. So now after you come out of the 11th, 12th chapter, you no longer call Israel 12 tribes. Israel has become 10 tribes. 10 tribes. Because they had a disturbance with David, the southern kingdom, where the two tribes at. They had a problem with them, and you see that David's grandson wasn't going to hear what he had to say. So from that point on, they become 10 tribes, Brother Nehemiah. So from that point on, see, you got to make a note of that. After you come out of the 11th chapter and 12th chapter of 1 Kings, Israel no more will be a united nation. There will be how many tribes?
10 tribes.
10 tribes. From that point on, there will be 10 tribes. So you got to make sure you're clear about that when you talk Israel. Israel is 10 tribes. And Judah is the two tribes. Well, really, three tribes, but because the Levites were sent back. So Judah become the southern kingdom, and Israel become the northern kingdom. So they're right there. And see, the priesthood was in both of the tribes, but they was sent back to the southern kingdom. We're not going to touch on that. But now, after you make a note that after the 11th chapter and the 12th chapter, Israel becomes 10 tribes. Because it's a split. He said, now take care of your own business, David. And then Israel rebelled unto this day. What Israel? The 10 tribes. The 10 tribes have even rebelled to this day. See? And that's why we got to be able to test the 10 tribes back in through this word. They got to hear his word, but they got to hear his word with the right spirit. To understand one thing, you ain't got nothing coming until you get back in order up under Judah. But Judah got to know what he's saying. He can't be talking Christianity in his head, Islam or Judaism. He got to be talking flat-out Bible. That's the game changer. You got to be talking flat-out Bible. If you talk flat-out Bible, you're going to win souls. But you, the first time you get what you think, what you feel, you're going to lose souls. And that's the game changer right there. Israel become 10 tribes. No longer 12. After you get through reading 11th chapter and 12th chapter, that's it. It's no more 12 tribes of Israel. 10 tribes. Now, there's a statement in the book of Samuel, but I'm struggling right now. But he got a statement over in the book of Samuel. Brother Nehemiah, they got a statement over in Samuel when they talked plainly some things. They said something real plainly in the book of Samuel, but I'm struggling right now on what they said. So now the old seer is struggling on a statement that they made in the book of Samuel, Brother Nehemiah, but I'm struggling right now. So, you know, see, I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling on a statement that was made, but I'm struggling. Can you help the old seer out there, Brother Nehemiah? Because the seer is struggling. You know, I'm struggling right now on a statement, what they said out their own mouth, but I'm struggling right now. So can you help those see out? He's struggling. And a statement made over here in the book of Samuel, what they see out their own mouth. They made a statement out their own mouth, Brother Nehemiah. And I think if you go to 2 Samuel, you can hear it plainly how they was talking out their own mouth. But I'm struggling. But because I'm struggling, that don't mean you're struggling. Because I'm struggling. So can you help me out, Brother Nehemiah, on what do they say out their own mouth? Brother Nehemiah, can you help those say out on what was said out their own mouth? In 2 Kings 19. Thank you, Mother Deb Israel. 2 Kings 19. They made something out, they said something out their own mouth, Brother Nehemiah. That's why they said now, to be an up-and-coming teaching to come, all these things are here. If I've got to go back over this again, you probably have said, no, see, you ain't studying. I got it. 2 Samuel 19, verse 42 and 43. What did they say there that we can read? Let's see what they say out their own mouth, and we all are going to respond to it when we hear it. What is said in 2 Samuel 19, 42, 43? What is said that, Brother Nehemiah?
2 Samuel 19, 42, and 43. And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore, then, be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost, or have ye given us any gift? 43. And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why did you despise us that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel.
Can you break down verse number 43? What is it saying, Brother Nehemiah, in 43? What is going on in verse 43?
Verse 43.
What's going
and
on?
The men of,
yeah, what's going on? Go ahead.
And the men Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts, 10 tribes, in the king, and we have also more right in David than you. Why did you despise us that our advice should be firsthand in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel.
What's going on in verse 43, Brother Nehemiah? Huh? What's going on there? How many pieces is Israel according to their own mouth?
10.
All right. So Israel is what? According to their own mouth, they are what? How many tribes?
10 tribes.
But you said 12, didn't you?
Yes,
you said 12, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You hear that? Hallelujah. But they said, out of their own mouth, how many tribes are Brother Nehemiah?
Says we have 10 parts in the king.
Remember what I said. Whenever you guess at it, you're going to be wrong every time. The only answer you're going to have, you're going to have a scripture to back up what you're saying. Anytime you guess and think you know it, remember, you're going to be 100% wrong every time. They say out their own mouth, Judah. So now, if it's 10 tribes, if Israel is 10 tribes, then who is the tribe that's with Judah that we can read, Mother Dear Israel? Hey, who's the, so what tribe that's going to always and first king be with Judah? When Judah moved, they moved. I wonder what the name of that tribe is that we can read. Going back to the 12th chapter, Mother Deb Israel. So now, when you see Judah, that's when you know, this is called the signs of the time. So when you start seeing this happening, Brother Nehemiah, that's when we know, we ain't got to watch that one eye say. But some things we got to know about this Bible. And we start seeing these signs start to unfold itself. Let's see what it says that we can read, Mother Deep Israel, in First Kings 12, verse 20. And here we go and find out what it is talking about. First Kings 12, verse 20, what it say?
First Kings, okay. 12, 20.
First Kings,
first,
12, verse 20.
First Kings, chapter 12, verse 20. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There were none that followed the family of David, but the tribe of Judah only.
Mm. So in this case, his house means the nation right here. The only ones following this southern king nation, in this case, was Judah only. But who that the signs look for today? Now, if they got 10 tribes, if Jeroboam got 10 tribes, that means Judah got to have a tribe. And what they name in verse number 21. So every time you see Judah, you don't see this tribe with him when he moved, even in captivity. This guy going to be with him. Let's see who it is that we can read. Verse 21.
Verse 21. And when Rehoboam was come to Judah, he assembled all the family of Judah.
In this case, the nation of Judah. In this case, the nation of Judah, in this case, go ahead.
With the tribe of Benjamin.
The tribe of who? The tribe of who?
Of Benjamin.
Oh! So every time you see Judah, you gonna see his right-hand man. And what's the name of his right-hand man going to be?
Benjamin.
Benjamin, the wolf. The wolf. So that wolf, sooner or later, that wolf got to come on back and be the right-hand man. That's the one you call a day Jamaicans. So sooner or later, Brother Nehemiah, the Jamaicans are going to have to find us. That's why we got to be ready and we got to know what we're talking about. Because a wolf ain't gonna hang around no prey. No, if you become a prey and you're feeble, the wolf ain't gonna be around. The wolf eats you up. See, since Judah is all out of pocket, don't know who they are, African American Negro, that's why the wolf can't come and join in with you, because you're all over the place. And Judah don't know who you are, don't know his responsibility. So a wolf, look at that as weakness. That's the kind of dude needs to be put in their mouth. Now, imagine a wolf. Even if another wolf see any lame lion. Now, the wolf knows that lion at its strength. I don't care how many wolves there is, they still walk past that lion. When that lion got his beard running good all around his neck, and he got that roar, he roaring real loud and feeling good, bouncy. I don't care how many wolves it is, they just look at him. We going on about our business. But don't mess around that lion have been chasing the prey and hurt his leg where he limpy. And the wolf spotted that he kind of got some weakness in him. They'll go live him up. That same thing going on today, Brother Nehemiah. See, the reason why Benjamin, the wolf, ain't came and knocked on our door yet, because we know you're not in order. We know we weak. They'll say, we got more going on for us in Jamaica than you got going on wherever you at. See, you know why? Because we out of order. And if a wolf see you out of order, wolf going to eat you up. So I see why Benjamin ain't ready to make no move yet. But don't think Benjamin ain't listening. He listening now. Yeah, he listening. But he know we're not in order. He know we making statements that ain't Bible. And so they're not coming in until we right. Until we in order, don't look for Benjamin to come in until we in order. We got to lead by example. We got to throw this book down in grand style. Then Benjamin going to start saying, hey, you better go on, get on over there now. Now, back to 1 Kings chapter 11. So when we read this word right here in 11, when we read this word, Brother Nehemiah, when we read 1 Kings 11, I want you to answer this question for me after you read it. What are you talking about? Read verse 35. 35 and 36. I want you to break down 35 and 36 for me after you read it. 1 Kings 11, 35 and 36. Where did it say that, Brother Jeremiah?
1 Kings 11, 35 and 36. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. 36, and his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light hallway before me and Yatta Judah, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there.
Mm-hmm. What verse 36 talking about? What that talking about in 36? What that talking about, Brother Nehemiah?
And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me and Yatta Judah, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there.
Mm-hmm. What that mean? And unto his son will I give one tribe. What's the name of the one tribe we've been talking about the last 10 minutes that can be with David?
Benjamin.
Benjamin, Brother Nehemiah. Make a note of that. The one tribe that's going to be, and they're going to be with Judah to be a what to Judah? What word is that? Alike. So they're going to be alike. Not a snare, a light. I'm always, and unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, might have a what? A light. A light. So Benjamin to Judah's supposed to be a light, like the right, your right-hand man. But Judah is out of order as we speak. So Benjamin is not coming in because Benjamin don't like weakness and disembobulation. We got to stand tall in the word of Yahweh. Then Benjamin got to come on in because Paul talks about that elder Matthias in the 9th chapter 1 through 5 and Romans 9:1-5. It was a conversation going on, Elder, with the tribe of Israel. Let's read some of this conversation in Romans chapter 9:1-5. Let's read some of this conversation. What are you talking about in Romans 9:1-5 there, Elder, with the tribe of Israel? Romans 9:1-5, what are you talking about?
In the book of Romans, chapter 9, starting at verse number 1 to verse number 5, 1 says, I say the truth in Yahweh the Son. I lie not, my conscience also bearing a witness in the righteous spirit. 2, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my mind. 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed.
Okay.
Not quite a son.
Accursed.
a curse from Yahweh the Son, from my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh.
So he's talking about his brothers according to what? Elder, the flesh. He ain't talking about no spiritual anything. He said he's talking about his brothers according to the flesh. This is flesh talk now. He said, my brethren according to the... Now, Paul, Saul, Saul, is getting ready to tell you who his brothers is according to the flesh. Now, he's been telling you plainly who his brothers is. Next verse. Come on, you to bring it on home.
For who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption?
Stop it there. Who's Paul's brother? Who Paul's brother? The Israelite. So Paul is an Israelite. Hear that point, most dear Israel. Read on 11 chapter 1 and 2. So, Paul is an Israelite. Paul is an Israelite. Christian ain't gonna never tell you that. Paul is an Israelite. What do you say in 11 verse 1 and 2, mother?
Okay. Romans chapter 11. Verse 1 and 2. And indeed, I say then, has Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. Yahweh has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Woe you not what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he made intercession to Yahweh against Israel, saying,
all I need out of there was Paul to tell you exactly who we were. That's all was needed out of that. Tell him who Paul was. Paul said he was an Israelite, child of Benjamin. And that's why I'm not cast with his people. That's the end of that conversation right there. I'm an Israelite. Paul said he's an Israelite, child of Benjamin. Paul's an Israelite, tribe of Benjamin. That's it. Yahweh has not cast away his people. See, that's what a game changer right there. That's called getting right to the point. Paul said, I'm an Israelite from a tribe and from the seed of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin. So he ran his genealogy down. And then, Yahweh not cast away his people. See? So that's the bottom line. Paul's an Israelite. And now he's talking in the ninth chapter, and he's going to tell them Israelites in Rome what you really got if you come back to the covenant. Now he's going to do some teaching with them. And verse 4 and 5, he can do some teaching right now. Now he can do some teaching. Now it's time to teach. Now, since he got their attention, he can teach them something about themselves that's in wrong. Let's see him do some teaching in verse 4 and 5. Come on, Elder. Now listen to his good teaching, Brother Nehemiah. He can talk to them Israelites that's in wrong. He going to tell them, if you do right, exactly what you got coming in verse 4 and 5. Come on, Elder.
Verse number 4 and 5. 4 says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Yahweh and the promises. 5. Whose are the fathers, and whom of whom as concerning the flesh Yahweh the Son came, who is over all Yahweh for us forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Now look what he done told them. Look what he done told them to get an understanding exactly what y'all ran away from by breaking away from the covenant. You done broke away and left all that good stuff on the table. Now, Elder, let's find out, let's name all the good stuff they have left on the table, and Paul bring to their table. He let them know their position that they are walked away from what? Read verse 4, and let's count the positions that they have walked away from even to this day. Read verse 4 and 5, and they're going to tell you something, some great stuff. And this is when, just not reading scriptures, he's telling them something. He's teaching them something in verse 4 and 5. He going to tell them what they done walked away from. Let's see what can help them deliver the knockout blow in reading. Exactly what they done walked away from in verse 4 and 5. Come on.
Verse number 4. It says, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory of the covenant and the giving of the law?
One. Start again. It's Paul.
Okay.
Let's see what all they got. Start again. Let's see what all they got.
Okay. Verse 4. Who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption?
One.
And the glory.
Two.
And the covenants.
Three.
And the giving of the law.
So you mean the children of Israel are supposed to do what, Adam? They're supposed to give the law. See, the children of Israel's job is to give the law, statutes and commandments.
And the service of Yahweh.
And they do the law, they get a 5. They get the what again? The service of Yahweh. So now if they do them 4, then they'll get the service of Yahweh. Let's see what Yahweh says behind that, Brother Nehemiah. First John 3:22. Let's see. When the children of Israel kept the law, statutes, and commandments, let's see what he got written. Same Paul's talking. Now this is John talking. Let's see when you keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Let's see what John wrote in 1 John 3:22. What do you write there, Brother Nehemiah?
1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm. So he said, if you keep in law, statutes, and commandments, then he says, ask him something. See, once you keep in law, statutes, and commandments, then you can ask him something. Because you're doing things that pleasing in his sight. But if you're not keeping those laws, statutes, and commandments, then, mother dear of Israel, what you got written in Proverbs 28:9? So if you're not keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, let's see what Yahweh got written for you in 28:9 of Proverbs.
Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. Read. He that takes away his fear from hearing the law, even his prayer, care of thee and abomination.
You feel that? So if you turn your way and you're not keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, when you spread your hands to Yahweh, your prayer is a what, mother?
Abomination.
To who? To who? According to that verse, 28 verse 9, your prayer is an abomination to who? According to 28 verse 9.
Listen, he needs to turn away his ears from hearing the law. Even his prayer shall be abomination.
Okay. So now, who is he talking about? We're going to piece up the Bible and find out who we're talking about. Brother Nehemiah and 6 verse 9. Let's see where your prayer of abomination to remember. When the question is asked, now you got to go get a preacher and find out, well, who your prayer going to be abomination to. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 9. And we read down to verse 11. Let's see who your prayer is going to be abomination to. 6, verse 9
Matthew.
Through 11 of Matthew. Come on out, Brother Nehemiah.
Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. 11, give us this day our daily bread.
Now read verse 9 again.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
So hold on. So who's your prayers, if you turn your way from hearing the law, who your prayers is abomination to? According to 6 verse number 9.
Our Father.
You see that? So your prayer is abomination to the mighty ones up in heaven. Now, he was on earth telling you that. So when he said, you know, when you're praying, if you're not keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, your prayer is abomination to him. How do we know that? You precept that to 931, Mother dear Israel. St. John 931. Watch this. Oh, you do keep precepts in your Bible. But if you don't write these precepts down, you're always going to be astonished at everything. You got to write the precepts down and study the precepts. 931 St. John. Come on, Mother.
St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that Yahweh hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, him he hears.
You see that? So now we know exactly how to read that verse over there in 28 verse 9. So who are you talking about? You pray, you call, now back up again to 7:14. Matthew's mother, dear Israel. See, sooner or later, somebody going to catch on, and then Yahweh will say, I see it, sir. They got it. Okay, you got it. That's a great thing. 7 verse 14. What is there at 7:14?
Matthew 7:14. Because.
Yeah. Skip down to verse 20. I tell you what, you're going to skip down to verse 21 and 22. You're going to skip real down. Just get on down to 21 and 22.
Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Now everyone that says unto me, Yahweh, Yahweh, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Yahweh, Yahweh, have we not prophesied in thy name? and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.
Go ahead. Then what are you going to say?
Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, sin.
Yeah. So you hear that? So you see, he's going to tell you that if you're not keeping laws, statutes, commandments, you are sinning. And he's going to tell you, bottom line, I never knew you. You ain't keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, and it was read that your prayers didn't get past your anger, but it was abomination to me because you were not keeping laws, statutes, and the commandments. You wasn't doing his will. You were doing your will. You was doing your feelings. You wasn't doing his will. Because if you're doing his will, Elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, if you're doing his will, in Psalm 40, verse 8, it tells you what Yahweh's will is. Psalm 40, verse 8, it tells you what is Yahweh's will. So you wasn't doing his will. But it tells you what his will is in Psalm 40, verse 8. Listen to this, Brother Nehemiah.
In the book of Psalms, looking at chapter 40, reading verse number 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O Yahweh. Yea, thy law is in my mind.
So what is his will? Law, statutes, and commandments. See, you can examine yourself. If you're keeping law, statutes, and commandments, you're doing his will. If you're not keeping, you're not doing his will. So that's what I mean by your prayers is abomination to him. You got to be doing his will. Him, I hear you when you're doing his will. Now the man just said, Isaiah precept 40 verse 8, Elder, Mr. T of Israel, a precept 40 verse 8.
Okay, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, reading verse number 8. And 8 says, the grass wherein flowers fade, but the word of our Yahweh shall stand forever.
The word of Yahweh is going to stand forever. The grass wither. The word of Yahweh is going to stand forever. What's going to stand is his word. If you're doing his will, him, he hear. He hear you when you're doing his will. If you're not doing his will, your prayers are abomination to Yahweh. He never told you keep Sunday. He never told you not know Lord God and Jesus. So you're not doing his will. So all them things you see on TV that's going on Sunday, wrong day, that is the ministers from Satan the devil. Because you're not doing Yahweh's will. Isaiah 30, Brother Nehemiah, pick up verse 19 down to verse, and let's read a little bit till we get our point. Let's see what Isaiah got to say. Isaiah going to do some powerful talking here, Brother Nehemiah. And Isaiah 30, round by verse 19. Let's read a little bit, see what we can get out of this. Isaiah 30, verse 19. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Isaiah chapter 30, starting at verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Judah, Yahweh Judah. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of their cry. Voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. 20.
Hold that part right there. But when is this? Hey, mother dear of Israel, 2 Samuel 7:19. When is this? When are you gonna hear the prayer of Judah? We better date this. Let's go to 7:19 and date this, mother. 2 Samuel 7:19. When did Yahweh hear the prayer of Judah? This must be when. 2 Samuel 7:19. What does it say, mother?
2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 19. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Yahweh, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's family for a great while to come.
Ain't that something? Read that verse again, Brother Nehemiah. So this right here must be a what again after you read this verse? And let Mother gonna spound on it when you read that verse again. When Judah gonna get all this great comeback. Read that verse again, 30 verse 19 of Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Judah, at Yatah Judah. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee.
Now, what we supposed to bring out after we read that verse? That's when. When is that, Mother? According to what we just got to reading in 7:19.
For a great while to come.
Hallelujah. Well, that's for a great while to come. Because we down on our knees like midgets. So that must be a great while to come. We know we got a whole lot of work to make this come to pass right here. That must be a great while to come. Because Judah right now, he's trying to find every liquor store he can get his hand on. And what you got on my drink as we speaking right now. Hey, he ain't thinking nothing about this right here now. So that's a great while to come. Verse 20. 30 verse 20. Come on, that brother Nehemiah. What do verse 20 say?
Verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers.
Oh, yeah? So your eyes don't need to see nobody else preaching to you. They don't need to see nobody. You've been preaching long enough. Your eyes got to see what, your eyes got to see what again, a 30 verse 20? You got to see what again, Brother Nehemiah?
But thine eyes shall see thy teachers.
So you see, brother, so people need some teachers, Brother Nehemiah. They need some teachers now. They've been preached here long enough. The eyes got to see the teachers now. And let's see what the teachers going to be saying in 21. Let's see some of the conversation that the teachers going to be saying in verse 21.
Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you have turned to the right hand and when you have turned to the left.
Oh, so the teachers supposed to be saying what in 21? So how do the teachers to fulfill this prophecy? How they got to be talking again at Brother Nehemiah? How they walk got to be according to verse 21? Read it again. Verse 21.
Verse 21, Isaiah 30 and 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Uh-huh. So the teachers that's going to come up, they got to be talking about, this is the way. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the light. They'll hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way. This is the way. What is the way of them? First John makes 2 John 1:6. What is the way of them? 2 John 1:6. What way that the teachers will be talking about, that the Yahweh teachers got to be talking about? This is the way. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. They hear a voice behind their head said, this is the way. What is the way, Heather? They go, 2 John 1:6, what are you talking about? What way?
Book of 2 John. chapter 1, reading verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments," first five books or so instructions. "This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it."
Good. So they're going to say, this is the way to walk in, walk in what, Elder? Law, statutes, and commandments. That's what they're going to be talking about. Now that's what your teachers that's coming up going to be talking about. This is the way, leading by example, you walk in the law, statutes, and commandments. That's how they're going to be talking, Elder. So that's just, we got out of ear to hear about when you know a teacher of Yahuwah is talking, because he'll be pointing at, this is the way. Walk in the law, statutes, and the commandments. Now you better stop and put your ear on that, because now you already got the blueprint on how they're supposed to be talking about the law, statutes, and commandments. Brother Nehemiah, we're going to the 15th chapter. 1 down in verse 12 of St. John. Most dear of Israel, have me 15 to 18 waiting on me. So listen, so now we clear how you're supposed to be talking. So it's easy to find when you turn your TV at one out of Satan and you start hearing them talking. Now you know how they're supposed to be talking. This is the way. Walk in the way. Let's find out what's going on and we can read, Brother Nehemiah. St. John chapter 15, 1 down to verse 12. Modea of Israel, 15 down to verse 18, waiting on me. Let's see what we're working with. Come on.
John chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
Read verse 7 and 10 again, Brother Nehemiah. Verse 7 and 10.
John chapter 15, verse 7, and then verse 10. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love."
Read verse 7 again, Adam. Nehemiah, read verse 7 again.
Verse 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you."
Ain't that something? You mean we got to do something? You know, I've been hearing all my life, we ain't got to do nothing, just believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. But according to his own mouth, You got to do something to activate this man in your life. You see that, Brother Nehemiah? So the man makes a plain, you got to do something. You can't just say, well, he has done it all for us. All we got to do now is just wait and believe. No. According to verse 7, that's him talking. Hey, Elder, what it says in Titus 1, verse 2? Elder, Mr. Taylor, what it says in Titus 1, verse 2? Titus 1, verse 2. What it say, Elder?
In the book of Titus, chapter 1, reading verse number 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
So Yahweh ain't lying. So who lying is your, he the one lying, or she the one lying. What did he say again, 15 verse 7 there, Brother Nehemiah, what did he say, 15 verse 7 again?
John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Ain't that something? So that means if you abide in him and you stay in the word, then he's saying you talk to him. So if you're not abiding in him, you're not keeping his word, then you just... You know, they got to let them know. You're just wasting your time according to him. And he'll just read in Titus 1, verse 2, and in hope of eternal life, he's like, well, I ain't lying. He tell you exactly how to get his attention. You got to do it verse number 7 to get his attention. What did verse 10 say? 15:10 says what?
John 15:10. You keep my commandments. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
You see the man saying? So it's all about you doing something. If you want this man to be in your life and cut down some of that inch of tension or cut down from them getting your back beat, you got to remember what the man's saying. And the precept is in St. John chapter 14 there, Brother Nehemiah. 14:15-17. Look what it says with a precept. Now, when you precept your Bible, I mean, you cook it in fine grease. Fine grease. Huh? So when you read St. John chapter 14, verse 15-17, watch this old fine grease just order. Just boil it real good. St. John 14:15-17. What does it say that, Brother Nehemiah?
John chapter 14:15-17. If you love me, keep my commandments. 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Now, what gonna be in you? You just got through reading it. Now, I wonder what verse that's gonna go back to see what's gonna be in you. Let's even go back to Isaiah chapter 30, Brother Nehemiah. Let's see, a mother, dear Israel, give me 24:32 of Luke. 24:32 of Luke. Mother, dear Israel, what is it saying? 24:32 of Luke.
Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Luke 24:32. Luke 24:32 reads, and they said one to another, did not our minds burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
So, mother, all we supposed to be able to do is talk with them by opening up the scripture. Now, let's find out what it means by if my word abide in you. Now, we're going back in precept that again, Brother Nehemiah and Isaiah 30, verse 20. Let's see what will be in you. 30, verse 20 of Isaiah. Let's see, can we recall what will be in you in 30, verse 20. What did it say there, Brother Nehemiah? Isaiah 30, verse 20, what did it say?
Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, you shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers.
21.
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Ain't that something? So what gets into you but you not to turn to your left and to your right? What, according to verse 21, Brother Nehemiah, what got to get into you for you not to turn to your left or to your right? According to verse 21, what got to get into you?
The word.
That's right. See, a word will get into you. And that's why he left you a reminder, Brother Nehemiah, and 15:37 down to verse 40 of Numbers. He left you a reminder. We know that, but he give you a reminder of some things. He'll tell you what'll help you out. You know, a lot of brothers say, well, you know, especially that great big old camp say, well, you don't need no reminder. Well, you're not Yahweh. Yahweh, he gave you a reminder. So why don't you use a reminder? Because you don't need no reminder. That don't mean the other people don't need no reminder, but some people need a reminder. Brothers say, well, you don't need no reminder of all the good teaching that I do. That's what he say. Why you need a reminder? Because Yahweh say you need a reminder. Let's see what reminder he say that we can read when we read the book of 15:37 down to verse 40 there, Brother Nehemiah. What kind of reminder that he put on the table? But you got the big dignitary say, look here, you don't need no, reminder no more. Who you supposed to be testifying? I don't need a reminder. Yahweh say you need a reminder. And what is that? 15:37 through 40. What is reminder we need to keep in our mind? I thought we might know it, but it's for others to see. What is that, Brother Nehemiah? Come on, 15:37 down to verse 40.
Numbers chapter 15:37 through 40. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make some fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. 39, and it shall be for you a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Yahweh, and to do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you go, which you used to go a-whoring. 40, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
So now, Brother Nehemiah, some of the big dignitaries said, well, If you wear fringes in my place, you got to get up out of here because you don't need nothing to remember. Well, maybe he don't need nothing to remember, but maybe the world might need something to remember. And he said, "The what going to be your remembrance to keep the law, statutes, and commandments?" See, the big dignitary, and they got a cliche going on in this big, very big old camp of the Israelite camp, saying, you ain't got to wear none of that. You don't need no reminder of thou shalt not, Well, who are you supposed to be caring when they don't? Yahweh say you need a reminder. That's good enough for me. So what is the reminder that we read that remind you maybe the big dignitaries don't need it, but maybe some, but a majority of the world do need it? What is that, Brother Nehemiah? What do you need? According to what we just got to read. What is the reminder? And we hear a great big old preacher say, if you wear them things into my church, I'm going to have them deacons put you out because you don't need no reminder about thou should not do this and thou should not do that. Who are you to say what they don't need? Yahweh said you need it. You need a reminder. And what is the reminder, Brother Nehemiah? What is the reminder that we can read?
In verse 38 and 39.
Yeah. What is the reminder that so if some leader said you don't need no reminders, so who are you supposed to be, the leader? But what did Yahweh say the reminder is, according to verse 38?
Put upon them the fringe of the ribbon of the borders of the ribbon of blue.
So what is the reminder, Brother Nehemiah, according to verse 38? What is the reminder that Yahweh say? What is the reminder? And what is the reminder according to verse 38? Can you help me out? What is the reminder? Go ahead and help him out, Mother, dear Israel. What's the reminder, Mother?
39. It's in 39. It says, and it shall be for you.
Hold on, Brother Nehemiah. Mother, what is the reminder that the children of Israel need according to Yahweh? What he says remind is, Mother, dear Israel?
The fringes.
That is the reminder. You got a lot of big, and a lot of ministers saying the same thing. You don't need no fringes on remind you of nothing. Don't dot you, not do this. Well, who are you supposed to be saying what they don't need? Yahweh said that maybe you don't need it, but the majority of the people need it because Yahweh said it. You need to wear them to be a reminder. But say, matter of fact, you remember that brother was sitting next to you, Mother? I ain't gonna call his name out. He the one echoing that same conversation. Well, the reason I don't wear them because I don't need none to remind me to just say do not. Well, maybe you don't need it, but Yahweh said the one that you talking to, they need it. Maybe you don't need it. But that don't mean that Yahweh said they do need it. So who are you? Now, what does it say that we can read that, Brother Nehemiah, 3 verse 4 of Romans? See, this is where you get them at, because he got this great big old Israelite camp. They'll tell you, you don't need to wear no fringes because of, and if you wear them in my place, they're going to put you out. But look what it says in 3 verse 4 of Romans. What does it say that, Brother Nehemiah?
Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Yahweh forbid, yea, that Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written.
So when they say that you don't need to wear no princes, so what? Maybe you don't need to wear no princes. Maybe you don't need no wake-up call. But Yahweh said those that the people need a wake-up call. And now he got his minister saying the same thing. You don't need to wear no fringes. Why not? Yahweh said you need to wear fringes. It's a reminder of you to keep the law of statute. I don't need none to remind me of that. Well, so you don't. But Yahweh said peoples do. See that? So when you're following ministry like that, now you see that that's going violated against Yahweh. Yahweh said the fringes is a remembrance. To keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. The friends are going to tell you, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not do that. You know what you're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath day. The friends will talk to you. But you're wrong with the preacher saying that if you come to his big establishment, he's going to put you out. That big deacon put you out. So you see that? But Yahweh said, let Yahweh be true, and every man lie. Start wrapping this up, Elder. Hey, Elder, let's start wrapping this up. Give me Isaiah 64, verse 4. Then swing down to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10 in the closing statement, Elder. Mr. Tibbs, Israel. And we get a closing statement. We'll get back on this tomorrow at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Then slide over to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. What did it say, I, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, in the closing statement? Come on. Where's I, Elder? Where's I, Elder? Pick that up, Brother Nehemiah, in the closing statement in Isaiah 64. Verse 4, that's how I hear it. I hear Big Rover making more noise than O.L. to make it. Hey, Elder, where's O.L. there? Pick it up, Brother Nehemiah, Isaiah 64. Give me that Isaiah 64, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, and close statement, Elder. I heard more Big Rover than you.
Hallelujah, had to cut down the background now. It was Isaiah, what chapter?
64, verse 4, then slide down to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, and closing statement.
Isaiah, chapter 64, verse number 4. Verse says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived, by the ear, neither had the eye seen. O Yahweh, besides thee, what hath prepared for him that waiteth for him?
He said, your eyes ain't seen it, your ears ain't heard. If you do your law, statutes, and commandments, you ain't got a clue on what Yahweh got coming for you if you obey. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, the other in the closing statement. Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading verses 9 and verse number 10. 9 says, but as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man, the things which Yahweh hath prepared for them that love him. 10. But Yahweh had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh.
You see that? He said, you ain't got a clue what Yahweh got. You can't even imagine what he got for you. Nor the one that love him. And loving Yahweh, that means you keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Hey, Elder, what's your closing statement behind that is? Come on.
Well, once again, we'd like to reach out and bless the mothers that are attending the broadcast. Of course, bless Seer Israel, the Seer Royal, Brother Edom Meyer for participating, reading out from the scriptures, and all the listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that simply means one thing, which is explained in Revelation 1, verse 2, where he says, blessed he that readeth, and that they keep, and that they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for time is at hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, Mother D of Israel, what is that we can read in Exodus 31, verse 12 through 14, the closing statement of that Mother Day of Israel. What it say in Exodus 31, 12 through 14, in the closing statement, Mother D.F. Israel, come on.
Exodus 31, 12 through 14.
Lay down to 14. 12 through 14. What did it say in the closing statement?
Exodus 51, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahweh that do sanctify you. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is righteous unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
Excellent. Close statement tomorrow at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Come on.
Psalms 147:19-20. He showed his word unto Israel, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. Verse 20. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise you, Yahweh, YHWH, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why he have enough, the other nations don't know it, don't know. You know why they don't know? Brother Nehemiah. I wonder why the other nations don't know it. Maybe we can get an answer to that. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9 and read verse 4 and 5. Let's find out why the other nations don't know it. There's a reason why they don't know it. Let's see what it says that we can read in Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 there, Brother Nehemiah. What does it say? Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5.
Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. 4 says, for who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Yahweh and the promises? 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahweh the Son came, who is over all, Yahweh blessed forever. Hallelujah.
So you see, there's a reason why they don't want to remember. They don't remember all that, because if they remember, they'll find out it'll come to them. Brother Nehemiah, everything in this Bible was given to one group of peoples. So that's why they got a remembrance problem. They don't want to remember that. Ezekiel chapter 20, 1 through 4, 10 through 12, 19 and 20, in the closing statement there, Brother Nehemiah. Exodus 20, 1 down to verse 4, 10 through 12, 19 and 20, in the closing statement. Catch you tomorrow. Bottom part of 7. Come on.
Exodus chapter 20.
Well, they can make it Ezekiel. Thank you, Mother dear Israel. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 20, 1 through 4, 10 through 12, 19 and 20 in the closing statement. Ezekiel 20, 1 through 4, 10 through 12, 19 and 20 in the closing statement. Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 20, 1 through 4, 10 through 12, and 19 and 20. Ezekiel 21 says, and it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Yahweh and sat before me. 2. Then came the word of Yahweh unto me, saying, 3. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Yahweh, I will not be required inquired of by you. For wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Yahweh that sanctify them. 19. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. 20. And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Close statement, Brother Nehemiah. Excellent, excellent, excellent. On your part again, come on. Closing statements, come on.
23-25, Ezekiel chapter 20. I lift up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I will scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. 24, because they had not executed my judgment, but they had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idol. 25, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua. Until tomorrow, our elders, elder mothers, up and coming teacher, Brother Nehemiah, catch you all in, on the international side. Catch you all tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yahweh be with you all. Remember, support this ministry. Donate to this ministry. Donate. Land through Franklin Hall radio station. Until tomorrow, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Shalom.
Shalom.
Hold on.